This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting muslimcentral.com/donate.
Thank you. I want to praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I want to thank you. I want to praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I'm feeling good waking up today. Got to say thanks to Allah for giving me another day. Another day. For the breath I breathe, to the trees, back to me. Can't you see? I'm living life in harmony. Got the sun shining down on me perfectly, currently. Feeling the breeze from the sea, and the clouds giving shade to me. Pray for me patiently, growing the food that I eat. And we could never count your blessings. Every second, so many lessons. Got me turning to the heavens. Thanks to He for creating me, shaping me, sustaining me. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I gotta thank you for my eyes and my thighs and my toes and my nose and my lips and my smile and my ears and my fears and my mind and my time and my. And my friends and my foes and my trials and my health and my wealth and the love in my life. And the fact that you set me a beautiful wife. For the good and the bad, for the strength that I had. For my mom and my dad, so much more I could add. You give and forgive while we get and forget. To the Lord of the worlds, we are always in debt. And how could I forget that you guided me to this deed? And for that, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I'm feeling good waking up today. Got to say thanks to Allah for giving me another day. Another day. For the breath I breathe, to the trees, back to me. Can't you see? I'm living life in harmony. Got the sun shining down on me perfectly, currently. Feeling the breeze from the sea, and the clouds giving shade to me. Pray for me patiently, growing the food that I eat. And we could never count your blessings. Every second, so many lessons. Got me turning to the heavens. Thanks to He for creating me, shaping me, sustaining me. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I gotta thank you for my eyes and my thighs and my toes and my nose and my lips and my smile and my ears and my fears and my mind and my time and my friends and my foes and my trials and my health and my wealth and the love in my life and the fact that you sent me a beautiful wife for the good and the bad, for the strength that I had, for my mom and my dad, so much more I could add. You give and forgive while we get and forget. To the Lord of the worlds we are always in debt. And how could I forget that you guided me to this thing? And for that, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I'm feeling good, waking up today. Got to say thanks to Allah for giving me another day. Another day. For the breath I breathe, to the trees, back to me. Can't you see? I'm living life in harmony. Got the sun shining down on me. Perfectly.
Ready, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome, welcome, welcome to day number 4 of Ramadan 360 with Al Maghrib Institute. Jazakum Allah khair, as always, to those who are ready and raring to go in the chat and who've joined us and said their salams. Please take a second, as we ask you always to do so, to edit your name here on Zoom and to add your location. I see many of you have done that. Aisha from Birmingham in the UK. We got Aziza from Trinidad and Tobago, mashallah. We got, of course, Brother Uthman from Nigeria. We've got Chema from Germany. We've got Eleanor from Kuala Lumpur. We've got Fahima from the UK. And mashallah, so many. Ghadir from Connecticut. We got Hassan from the Maldives. Shout out to y'all. And oh, that reminds me, because I know I always see Hassan on my camera, on my screen. Please feel free now to start your video here and join us on the screen on Zoom as well. It's a pleasure to be with you guys for the fourth day in the row. And subhanAllah, I know it's only 4 right now, but trust me, these days are going to start to run together so quickly. And before we know it, we're going to be at the end of the month. And it's just mind-boggling. Maryam from Atlanta, assalamu alaikum. Nabwan from the UK, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Suri from Australia, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. We got Samira from Morocco. Lovely to have all of you with us once again. And you know what? Usually by this time, we start to get to know each other a little bit better. So I'm going to try something. I haven't done one of these in a long time, back since COVID years. And actually, the instructor that we have, Sheikh Saad Tasneem, I miss him because he's been, we had him a lot, around a lot, doing so much around COVID years. And I don't get this excuse to interact with him and benefit from him as much outside of, you know, the stuff that he posts on YouTube and the stuff he posts online on his Instagram and Twitter. So I hope that you guys get a chance to benefit, inshallah, and that you, is anyone here very new to Sheikh Saad? You've never benefited, you've never had listened to a lecture or attended a class with Al Maghrib with him? Let us know here in the chat. Oh, I see Lareen, you're new here from London. Haneen, you as well. Sakina. Okay, so you guys are in for a treat, mashallah. Sheikh Saad was one of our favorite Al Maghrib instructors, mashallah. His pick of chillin was awesome. He's got a new class called Quranic Vibes that he had launching with us virtually, and now that is touring on site in many cities, in Al Maghrib cities around the globe. So look out for that, inshallah. Hunayn, you don't know him, you're new. Okay, mashallah. He's going to impress you, inshallah, today. Welcome to all the newbies. Jazakallah khair, Nemo. With that said, I'm going to test out one of these polls. Or these quiz thingies on Restream. Now, I feel like a boomer when I do this because it's been so long, but we're going to do our best, inshallah, because we want to get to know you guys a little bit better. And it's day four now. I've said day three on this one. It was meant for yesterday, so ignore that. And we have just some simple questions, inshallah, to ask you. So it should pop up. For those who are on Zoom, it'll pop up on your screen. For those who are watching on YouTube, join us on Zoom. Register for free at Ramadan360.org. You'll get access to the private student portal, to Telegram, to everything else that's beautiful about this community, that and internal access to the class experience. So do make sure that you join us here. Okay, so all the questions showed up all at once. All right, that's okay. So the first question I have to ask you guys that I've launched is, what is your fondest childhood memory associated with Ramadan? Everyone's got something specific that growing up there was, you know, and if it's not on this list, feel free to drop it into the chat. But growing up, that is how you felt like it is finally Ramadan, is because of these memories. So A is decorating the house for Ramadan, B is preparing special iftar meals with your family, and C is attending Taraweeh prayers at the mosque. So I see an interesting mix of responses. Like, it's shifted so dramatically, so quickly. So submit your responses on screen. Again, if you're coming on Zoom, you should be able to see it popping up. And once you submit it, it will add to the numbers on the poll. The next question is, what's your primary goal for Ramadan this year? Is it increasing your Quran recitation? It's the month of Quran, so that would make sense. Strengthening your prayers, or increasing your charity and acts of kindness? I love how 1% so far is charity and acts of kindness. Mashallah, I love that everyone's got strong goals for Ramadan. Number three, what's your favorite part of the daily Ramadan routine? Is it waking up for suhoor? That will never be me. It's a miracle if I wake up, but it's definitely not something I look forward to. I just do it because it's sunnah. Number B is offering taraweeh prayers. C is breaking the fast with family at iftar. And D is late night reflection and prayers. Let us know here in the chat. I'm going to end it in a second, and then we'll see what you guys have to say, inshallah. So we got a lot of C's and D's, but I wonder who, if you didn't see anything that was on the poll that was relevant to you. Angela, you're a revert. Welcome, mashallah. We have a lot of reverts who are part of this community, and it's such an honor because I get told every year that, mashallah, you guys break your fast, or you spend, you know, this is the most consistent, you know, deed or you know, routine that you have in your Ramadan. It's such an honor, alhamdulillah. Okay, I'm going to end the poll because I see a lot of the responses have come in, alhamdulillah. We got 100 something responses coming in already, mashallah. And let's see what everyone has to say. Okay, so for fondest childhood memory, by far, everyone chose preparing special iftar meals with family. That's awesome, mashallah. Only 5% of us decorate our house for Ramadan. Number two, for primary goal for Ramadan this year, it was close, but increasing your Quran recitation was a little bit higher. And then right after that was strengthening your prayers. And I hope we're helping you with number three, which is increasing your charity and your acts of kindness here in Ramadan 360. Of course, shout out to our daily giving and to our amazing sponsors. And then for what was your favorite part of the daily Ramadan routine? This was very close. So 33% of you here chose breaking your fast with family at iftar, and D, 35% of you chose late night reflection. Oh, I just shared it so you guys can see it as well. Late night reflection and prayers, tahajjud. 6% of you are like me, who chose waking up for sahur, and 26% of you chose offering taraweeh prayers. Mashallah, yes. Lorene says, I love nightly prayers, especially tahajjud. So I'm glad that we have, mashallah, in common. We know you guys just a tad better. Please continue to share any tidbits, any gems or memories that you have of your Ramadan routine and what makes it special for you all. And jazakumullah khair for joining us on this fourth day of Ramadan 360. Today's topic is going to be submission. But of course, Ramadan 360 is a Maghrib's daily experience in the month of Ramadan. It's just a taste of what, alhamdulillah, we're able to do throughout the year with our beloved instructors and with this vibrant global community that we have. Our goal has always been, for the past 22 plus years, to make Islam easy and accessible. And that, alhamdulillah, has been a journey that you guys have been on with us. If you're new to the experience, we hope that you guys continue to benefit from Al-Maghrib's classes and programs after. We do so much through Al-Maghrib online, where we have professionally filmed and edited classes that are available for lifetime access. We have Al-Maghrib Blessed Voyage, when many of you have just returned from your Blessed Voyage pre-Ramadan Umrah, which is our Tarbiyah intensive Umrah experience, alhamdulillah. And there's so many more. There's programs that are happening in tandem right now with Ramadan 360. And there's things that you're looking forward to. You're going to, inshallah, look forward to. We have our 10-day Quran challenge that's coming up next week for those who put in that you want to increase your Quran recitation. If you want to perfect it as well, that is going to be an amazing treat and an amazing experience for you all, inshallah. And we look forward to having you guys there benefiting from that as well. And welcome. welcome to those who are still joining us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to day number 4. Some of these announcements and reminders, I'll try to avoid some of the logistical ones. I think you guys are pretty comfortable or getting used to them now, alhamdulillah. Of course, as always, remember to sign up for, do a little bit every day and sign up for our daily giving campaign. Contribute some to some of the great work that Al Maghrib is doing and to the high quality and professional approach to Islamic learning that we have been, alhamdulillah, being able to facilitate through your support. Someone will drop the link for you guys, but it's almaghrib.org/givedaily for you guys on YouTube. And it's also in your description boxes as well. Of course, Ramadan 360 would not be possible without the amazing charity partners that make our experience amazing every single year. In US, of course, we have HHRD. In Canada, we have Islamic Relief. And in the UK, we have Forgotten Women. And that link has been updated, just FYI, Forgotten Women, the link in the chat. So just double check if you are having trouble with it in the past. And just a quick reminder before we jump into our session is, subhanAllah, it's quite surreal. Today we had lost our water in my apartment complex. They keep like turning off the valves every few days, and I always forget when that's going to be. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to, I know Prophet ﷺ did wudu with very, very little water. I had whatever was left in my water bottle, and I was trying to eke it out for Dhuhr Salah. And I was just like, wow, this is the real struggle. And oh my gosh, should I do tayammum? Is this going to be enough? And then subhanAllah, I was reminded of the fact that our brothers and sisters in Palestine are reusing their water, and they're not even able to have clean water. They're reusing their dishwater to clean their clothing, to bathe in, because they have so little access to the basic necessities of life. So whenever you're thinking, obviously keep them in your consistent du'as, but make every reminder, every sadness that you feel when you hear about their circumstances, a reason and a motivation for you to go and to donate to our amazing charity partners and to continue to make, you know, strong du'as and keep them in your du'as in the middle of the night when you're waking up for salah. May Allah free Palestine and relieve them of this genocide. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. With that said, alhamdulillah, I mentioned to you guys earlier that Sheikh Saad, we used to see so much of him. Now it's like a treat whenever we have him live with us here on Ramadan 360. Many of you have benefited from his OG classes, throughout the years in Al Maghrib, his fiqh of chilling, his trends, and so many more. Recently, he's been touring. Some of you may have experienced online virtually with us, his Quranic vibes, 21 principles. I always forget the full name, the subtitle, 21 principles to live your life by or to improve your life. Oh, I have to, that's embarrassing. I'll pull up the exact title, inshallah, but it's 21 principles from the Quran to change your life. And it is a beautiful transformative experience. If you haven't had a chance to benefit from it, look out for it coming up to a city near you, inshallah, for Al Maghrib on-site seminars. Sheikh Saad, it's been way too long. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to Ramadan 360. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's good to be here. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Of course, always with a black background. That's one thing. The world can change. Everything can go upside down. We can have a pandemic and a genocide, but some things, alhamdulillah, are always consistent. Sheikh Saad and his black background. Sheikh, you know, I know it's hard sometimes to make light of things, but you know, I want to try to squeeze in a question right now, just before we jump into our session with you and our Quran reflect right after, is how are you keeping yourself centered during this time? And how are you trying to, you know, maximize your ibadah still and be as effective as possible in Ramadan when it's hard not to be so distracted by all the pain and all the suffering that we're witnessing coming out of Palestine right now?
Yeah, bismillah. That's a pretty tough question to answer. I mean, to be honest, I'm sure some of you know this, but I lost both my parents about 6 months ago or so, right when, like before October 7th. So it's just been a lot that I've been personally dealing with over these last, half a year or so. So from that time on, there's been a lot of reflection that I've been doing in terms of my personal life, my legacy as well. A few years ago, I lost one of my mentors, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, Allah rahmahu, the founder of Al Maghrib. He was a very important part of my life. So I think it started with his passing, and then with my parents, and then now witnessing this genocide taking place, witnessing it on our own devices. That's just a whole different way of experiencing something like this. And I always say what's happening in Gaza and Palestine at large is not new. But the way we are witnessing it, sitting thousands of miles away, almost this firsthand experience, is unprecedented. It's never happened before. So, of course, we're all dealing with a lot of emotions. I think there's, for me, been a lot of survivor's guilt, right? This idea of Why them and not me? And when you lose a loved one, you know, it's normal for people to experience the survivor's guilt. And I think now with Gaza, I think it's not just me. I think there's almost this mass survivor's guilt that a lot of us are feeling. There's ummah level survivor's guilt, right? We're sitting far away and we're feeling helpless. And, you know, we start to think, I wish I could make a difference. And then we start looking for people to blame. And, you know, there's a lot of that going around and going around. So I've had some time to kind of to sit with this. And I always go back to my legacy. So what am I leaving behind? And what have I prepared for the life to come? And I keep thinking about that and how I can be of the most benefit to people and the most benefit to my akhirah. And that's what I have been trying to focus on these last 6 months, 7, 8 months, is kind of building that. And you know what? When people say legacy, oftentimes they think of like dunya legacy, like I'm leaving behind, you know, this great project or whatever, or I've established this and that, which is fine. That's great. But when I say legacy, I'm not just saying dunya, but also for the akhirah. So like, how have I prepared myself for the akhirah? So that's why, you know, my focus has shifted a little bit in terms of the projects that I'm working on. There's some stuff in the pipeline, inshallah, coming, maybe not soon, but stuff I'm working towards. That's why I've kind of taken a little bit of a shift from, you know, doing more Al-Maghrib seminars. Inshallah, I do want to teach more Al-Maghrib seminars. That's always something which is, you know, beloved to me. It's close to my heart. But yeah, so, and the answer to that is, you know, for me, I think that may be different than a lot of people. But what we do need to be thinking about, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about this today as well, is, you know, what am I leaving behind? And where are my strengths, and where can I maximize the good? And I know this is a little bit of a you want to keep this answer a little bit short. I'm just going to mention one quick anecdote, and then we'll get into the talk, inshallah. So it's well known, at least here in America, that I'm not an imam. I don't serve as an imam of any masjid. And that is by design, in terms of like, I have chosen, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the ability to choose to not be an imam. And I know it sounds weird when people, it sounds weird to hear, like to hear that. It's weird for me to say that. But, you know, and I've gotten approached many times, even my local community and communities. One particular meeting I had with one of the presidents of one of the masjids here. And that doesn't mean I do stuff in the masajid, and, you know, I try to contribute, but just that imam position. And the president of the masjid said, listen, you know, we know you have certain reservations and of masjid politics and this and that, and kind of getting dragged into all of that. We'll shield you from it, and we'll allow you to travel. And this like best case scenario. And I was like, okay, cool. But a couple of things. Number one, the masjid board is always changing. So this board might be cool and you guys are maybe cool with me. But what happens in a year or two when a new board comes in and just there's one person on the masjid board who doesn't like me for whatever reason, and they decide to make my life difficult. And then I'm spending a lot of my energy and time like putting out these fires that to me are not of benefit to the larger community. Number two, I very much view that my life is a limited number of years, months, days, hours, whatever it is, I don't know, that I only have a certain amount of time that Allah has given to me. And among that, from that time, there's time for my family, there's time for myself, and there's time for, you know, my personal ibadah. And then there's time that I give to the community and to the people. And I'm sorry, but sitting in board meetings and like arguing about, you know, certain issues, I don't feel is the best use of my time. So that's why like I've chosen to, like, I don't think that's the path for me, because if I'm sitting in a board meeting and we're arguing over an issue, like I feel like I'm wasting the time that Allah has given me to benefit the people. So sorry to like dump that on you, but this, you know, there's a lot of thoughts I've been having over these past, you know, 8, 9 months or so.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. The very honest, very organic answer we always expect from you, mashallah. And it was 21 principles to overcome the negativity around you. I always forget. But looking forward to, inshallah, seeing you more in the Al-Maghriban site world. Let's jump into today's topic on submission, inshallah. We look forward to your gems and your reflections, and we'll join you here in the chat. Bismillah.
Bismillah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. So the topic for today is submission. In Surah Ali Imran, verse number 102, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, have the taqwa of Allah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. O believers, have the taqwa of Allah the way He deserves. And this is an instruction for us to live our lives in this way. What does it mean to have the taqwa of Allah the way Allah deserves? Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, quoted the early generation of scholars, amongst them Ibn Mas'ud, Hasan Basri, Ikrimah, Qatada, and others. And he said, to have the taqwa of Allah the way Allah deserves is أن يطاع فلا يعصى وأن يشكر فلا يكفر وأن يذكر فلا ينسى. He said, what this means is that you obey Allah and you do not disobey Allah. And yushkara fala yukfar, and that you are thankful and grateful to Allah, and that you don't turn a blind eye to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yudhkara fala yunsa, that we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we don't become disconnected from Allah, that we live our lives in this way. This is how we have the taqwa of Allah in the way that Allah deserves. And then Allah says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die and accept in a state of Islam, except in a state that we are fully submitted to Allah, except in a state that we are Muslim, which the essence of Islam is istislam, is submission, submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the question is, how do you make sure you die upon something? So if I were to say to you, make sure you die wearing a white shirt. Well, how do you make that happen? Well, the obvious answer is I just make sure I'm always wearing a white shirt. So whenever death comes upon me, whether it is all of a sudden or it happens gradually or an illness, since I'm always wearing a white shirt, I know I'm gonna die in a white shirt. May Allah protect us. So when it comes to dying in a state of Islam, this means living in a state of Islam, living in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the first half of this verse is, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, have the taqwa of Allah the way Allah deserves. And that taqwa of Allah, God consciousness, is a constant state of being. You know, our scholars of the past, they would say, Man asha ala shay, mata alay, that a person who lives upon something will die upon that. So we have to ask ourselves now, how are we living our lives? And because that is indicative of how we will end our lives. And this is why, you know, scholars often talk about a good ending, you know, someone who, husn al-khatima, a good ending versus a su al-khatima, a bad ending. That a person dies committing something bad or they die in a state of sinfulness or whatever it may be. That is an indication of what is to come in the afterlife. One of the main reasons for that is that it's indicative of how this person lived their life. So if a person is living their life in a way that they are doing as much ibadah as possible, that they are patient with people's shortcomings, that they are make sure to keep their tongue pure, they don't involve themselves in backbiting, and they live their life in that way, then they would most likely die in that way as well. Right. Even, you know, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Man kana akhir kalamuhu la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah," that the person whose last words are la ilaha illallah will enter paradise. And our scholars often say that sometimes people think this is like it's a loophole, right? You just say la ilaha illallah, make sure, you know, you're about to die, you say la ilaha illallah, good to go, straight to Jannah. Well, it's not as simple as that. You have to live la ilaha illallah to be able to say la ilaha illallah in your final moments. So now the question comes, are we living our lives in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the laws of Allah, what Allah has commanded for us, what Allah has forbidden for us, what Allah has liked for us, and what Allah has disliked for us, are we conscious of that in the way that we are living our lives? And I want to highlight two particular instances in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam today that will kind of give us some insight into understanding submission, like what submission really means. So as we said, living our lives in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that is also living our lives accepting the qadr, the divine decree of Allah. Number one is, first incident is the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah, from the outside, from the perspective of the companions, at the moment that that treaty took place, it seemed like a loss. It was very disheartening for the companions because the companions had traveled all the way from Medina to Mecca to go make Umrah. And the context there is that a lot of these companions, they were extremely, extremely homesick because they had left their homeland. They had left the place where they grew up, and they were finally getting a chance to go make Umrah. And the Prophet ﷺ informed them that they will be able to not only go back to Mecca, but also they'll go back to Mecca and be able to make Umrah with the Prophet ﷺ. And then they hit the roadblock of the Quraysh, not allowing them to enter. And at that point, you know, this is a longer story, but this treaty took place between the Muslims and the Quraysh. And this treaty was a treaty of peace, but in the moment that the companions found themselves in, they were told that according to this treaty, they cannot make Umrah this year. So all the preparations that they had made, they had high hopes to go into Mecca. And they're now, you know, it's not like they're at home and they're being told like, you can't go. They've arrived, they're right outside Mecca and they're being told that you have to go home. You know, speaking about how disappointing this must have felt for the companions, all the preparations that they had made to be there, they're being told that they cannot make Umrah this year, let alone some of the companions feeling like this is almost a defeat, that they had come and a lot of the Sahaba, they felt that they had come with strength, and they were about 1,400 Muslims at that time coming now to make Umrah, and they're being told that they have to turn around and go home, and the next year they'll be able to make Umrah. And there were other parts of this treaty that seemed like Muslims were on the defensive, on the back foot. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that time revealed, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا, that indeed we have granted you a clear victory. And now, subhanAllah, for the Sahaba, they're looking at this, they're being turned away, they're being told that, you know, and one of the parts of this treaty was, by the way, that if a Muslim in Mecca kind of leaves Mecca and tries to come to Medina and find sanctity, you know, and find a safe haven with the Muslims in Medina, the Muslims in Medina have to turn this person back and send them back to the enemy, back to the Quraysh, where we know that they would probably be tortured and harmed and so on and so forth. And the companions were feeling like this is a grave injustice. And then Allah, and amongst them, by the way, was Umar radiallahu anhu, who was very upset at this moment, because Umar, as we know, was had a lot of pride and honor in his Islam. And he always viewed that honor comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even if the Muslims are few, they are weak, you know, whatever it may be, Allah has honored the believers. And so Umar radiallahu anhu now is feeling like almost they have been dealt a blow from the Quraysh. And Allah reveals the verse, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا, we have granted you a clear victory. And the demeanor of Umar radiallahu anhu changes. Why? Because he knows now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed that this is a victory. Even though it feels like a loss, it feels like a defeat, it feels like Muslims have been disgraced right now, he understands that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is a victory, then this is a victory. And he becomes elated. And some of the narrations mention that he began shouting and saying, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا. He's announcing to the other companions that Allah has sent, that now this is a clear victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And looking back at what happened at that time, even though in that moment it did not feel like a clear victory, in hindsight, it was obviously, as Allah had revealed, it was a clear victory. Because in just 2 years, in the conquest of Mecca took place about 2 years after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And in just those 2 years, the amount of Muslims had grown exponentially. So 1,400 people came during, you know, the year for the Treaty of Hudaybiyah when they had come. Then just 2 years later, about 10,000 Muslims came during the conquest of Mecca. So now looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed and submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Umar radiallahu anhu, he understood that this is the decree of Allah, and Allah has decreed that even though it feels like a loss, it's actually a victory. Now this becomes clear for the believers. And for us, a lot of times when we look at whether what's happening in the world or whether what's happening in our personal lives, and I'm talking about things that we don't have control over, the qadr, the will of Allah, the decree of Allah that we don't have control over, this is where submission becomes important. Oftentimes people, and I want to be very clear here, we're not talking about submission to things that we have the ability to change. For example, if somebody's harming us and we have the ability to remove that harm, we remove that harm. We don't say, I've submitted to the decree that I'm being harmed. No, that is a situation where we have the ability to change what is happening. But when Allah decrees something and we don't have the ability to change it, that is where submission becomes our driving force. And so for the context of a lot of us now, and we're looking at what's happening in Palestine, Gaza in particular, the reality is that we don't have the ability to physically change what is happening, right? So in that, Allah has decreed for us a state for our ummah, and may Allah free us from this state, that we physically cannot put an end to this grave injustice, and grave injustice is putting it very lightly, that is taking place in Gaza and Palestine. With our own mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and children being slaughtered and maimed and killed, indeed, this is a test of our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That are we submitting to the decree of Allah in the sense that there are certain, yes, we have the ability to make dua and we have the ability to, you know, send aid, and there's things that we can do and we have to do that. That is important for us. But then there are things that we don't have control over, right? In terms of you know, propaganda, the Israeli propaganda, and sometimes we feel very, very helpless. And we may begin to question the decree of Allah. Like, why would Allah decree this level of power and control for Zionists, right? And this goes against our submission to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's number one. Number two, in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the Battle of Uhud. And the Battle of Uhud, a lot of it is referenced in Surah Ali Imran. And I advise my brothers and sisters that when it comes to reflecting upon what is happening in Palestine today and other parts of the world, Sudan, Yemen, with our Myanmar brothers and sisters, the Rohingya Muslims, whatever part of the world we look at today, and we begin to feel helpless and we begin to feel like we have indeed suffered a great blow, reflect on Surah Ali Imran. And so what I want to do today is reference a little bit of Surah Ali Imran for our second lesson from the seerah and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In verse number 137 in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنْ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. That similar situations have come to pass before you. Now, what is the context here? The context is the Battle of Uhud. And the Battle of Uhud, as compared to the Battle of Badr, was very disheartening for the believers because they had suffered many losses during the Battle of Uhud. And it felt like a defeat for the believers. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is comforting the believers at Uhud and saying to them that, you know, the situation you find yourselves in, where it seems that the disbelievers, the mushrikun, the Quraysh, have the upper hand, and you have suffered a lot of losses, and you're going through a lot of pain and a lot of trauma. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now in this context, Allah says, this is not something new. Travel throughout the land and you will see the situations like this. What situations? Situations in which the oppressors and wrongdoers have had the upper hand, that they have been unjust and they have caused corruption and spilled blood and they have oppressed and harmed innocent people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قد خلت من قبلكم سنن, that this is situation has come before you, فسيروا في الأرض and travel throughout the earth and see كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين. Look at the outcome or the fate of those who denied the truth. And this is referring to, obviously in the Quran we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the stories of Ad and Thamud, and we have other examples of those nations that transgressed. What was their outcome? And even today, subhanAllah, we can look at, you know, human history, and you look at, you know, secular history books, and we find nations that we thought were superpowers. We thought that they were great empires. Now we can look back and see the remnants of those empires and see what has happened. I often reference the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire in its heyday seemed like it was the biggest superpower. It cannot be defeated. And the Roman Empire lasted for, you know, about 1,000 years. But if you were to ask them in during that time, like, do you think the Roman Empire could fall? They would say, absolutely not. And so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the believers of. In the next verse, Allah says, هذا بيان للناس, that this, and this is referring to either what Allah has just mentioned, that the fact that those who were transgressors, Allah destroyed them eventually, and also the Quran as a whole. So Allah is saying, turn back to the Quran if you find yourself in this type of situation. هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ, the Quran gives you this clear insight to all of humanity. Anyone, any human being can open up the Quran and find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them this clarity. وَهُدَى وَمَوْعِدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and for those who have taqwa, this is a lesson. Meaning, anyone can open the Quran and look at the context and see this lesson, but who will take this as a lesson? It is only those who have taqwa. And who will be and who will be guided by this Quran? It is only those who have taqwa. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives comfort to the believers and says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not falter and do not grieve. لَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not grieve. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, and you will have the upper hand. You will be victorious. In kuntum mu'mineen, as long as you are believers. This is an instruction to the companions to submit to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this submission comes again. The submission is, if you have iman, if you have taqwa, victory will be yours. This is the guarantee. Even though in that moment during the battle of Uhud, it may have been hard for the companions to see this, but here this promise comes, just like the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, we have given you a clear victory. Here, once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the companions, wa antumul a'lawn, you will have the upper hand. You will be superior. You will be victorious. In kuntum mu'mineen. But the point here is that, you know, earlier we talked about submission to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission, living our lives in obedience to Allah, and then submission to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here they are tied in together. You know, there's something very interesting that happens in these ayat during Surah Ali Imran. In the middle of speaking about the battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions riba. In verse number 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا الرِّبَى, O believers, do not consume interest. أَضْعَافًا مُضَعَّفًا, multiplying many times over. And some people, when they're reciting Surah Ali Imran, and they're reflecting upon Surah Ali Imran, they say, they get a little confused. And they're like, what is, you know, riba, interest, have to do with the Battle of Uhud? Right, like, what is the connection? Like, what's happening here? In the middle of speaking about the Battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, do not consume interest. And the connection there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, لا تأكلوا الربا, don't consume interest. أَضْعَافًا مُضَعَّفًا, which is multiplying many times over. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, have the taqwa of Allah so that perhaps you will prosper, you will be victorious. And now here, once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions taqwa. And the taqwa here is tied in, and once again, living our lives by the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how that is tied into victory, right? So our scholars mentioned a very interesting point here, that a person who cannot free themselves from a from something as destructive as riba. Why do people consume riba? Well, they find some benefit in their dunya by either consuming interest or giving interest or being involved in interest. And in the world that we live in today, this is one of the main reasons you find Muslims, may Allah protect us, that get involved in interest. There's some benefit for them there, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you cannot free yourself from that, some worldly benefit, then you cannot be victorious, right? And that is one of the main connections here, that unless we can fix ourselves and we can live our lives in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can we expect victory from Allah? How can we expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring victory to this ummah? And yes, a lot of us cannot, you know, change what is happening in Palestine and Gaza. We cannot physically put a stop to it, right? But one of the things we have to ask ourselves is that if I were to die tomorrow, how am I going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Yes, I want to solve I want to free our brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Palestine. I want to do that. But if I were to die tomorrow, well, what happens to that victory? For me, my life in this dunya comes to an end. And so whether Palestine is free or not, you know, yes, did I do my best? Did I sincerely make dua for brothers? Did I really feel? Did I feel that I had the desire to free? Did I have the desire to even physically, like, let's just be real, like, did I have the desire to physically defend my brothers and sisters in Gaza? Like, if I had that opportunity, did I have the desire to do that? But that is part of my taqwa, that I died meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that desire. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that a person who, and the meaning of this hadith is that a person who has the intention for jihad, intention to fight and defend their brothers and sisters, they will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the rank of the martyrs. بَلَّغَهُ اللَّهُ مَنَازِلَ الشُّهَدَاءِ. Allah will give them the rank of the martyrs. وَلَوْ مَاتَ عَلَى فِرَاشِ. Even if this person dies upon their own bed, right? How? Because they live their life with that intention, right? That connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the halal, in the haram, but also in, you know, where does my faith lie? Where does my spirituality lie? Is it connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way? So in these moments, we have to ask ourselves, where's my faith in these moments of distress for the ummah? And for me, what is very telling is sometimes, you know, and I don't know, I'm sure wherever you're tuning in from, I'm sure you may have come across marches in your country. I'm in America, and I'm very close to Washington, D.C. We've had some major marches here, and I, alhamdulillah, had the ability to attend these marches. One of the things I look at is how are the Muslims behaving during these rallies and these marches and these protests? Is there an attitude? Is there a feeling of victory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we, yes, we're chanting, but are we also making dua? When time for salah comes, are we making sure that, you know, I got to pray my salah? Are we making sure that we are living our lives in the obedience of Allah, because we know Allah is the source of that victory? That is what it means to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I want to move on. I know I've a little bit run out of time. I want to move on a few of these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُ. That if you suffered some injuries here, then know that those who came before you, they suffered injuries as well. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are the days that we alternate for humanity, meaning days of victory and days of defeat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees hardship for this ummah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees ease and victory for this ummah. Allah decrees defeat for this ummah, and Allah decrees victory as well. Why does Allah alternate this the qadr in this way? Why does Allah alternate it? لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So Allah can reveal the true believers. The test of our submission happens when we are facing defeat, when we are on the back foot. How do we behave? وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَى. And Allah decrees these difficult times so that Allah can bring about amongst you, or take, and the word is actually literally وَيَتَّخِذَ, to take from you, to extract from you, shuhada, martyrs. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimin, and Allah does not like those who commit Zulm. And Allah here now clarifies. And what is Allah doing right now? Allah is clarifying for the world the zalimeen. Right? That these are the people who are hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. The irony of some of these people calling themselves the chosen people of God is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. Allah hates those. Allah does not like those people who are zalimeen. And this is the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, that yes, when we go through hard times, and I know I've referenced Gaza and Palestine, but even in our personal lives, submission means that there are certain things that happen in our lives that we don't have control over. What happens? What happens in those times? And I'll end with just one example of personal loss found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a hadith Qudsi, narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, "Ma li 'abdil mu'min 'indi jaza'un," that Allah says that I have nothing to give to my believing servant. إِذَا قَبَضْتُ صَفِيَّ when I take someone who is close to them, right? مِنْ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا, from the people of the dunya. That when Allah takes someone who is very, very close to us, right? This is personal loss, right? When Allah takes someone close to us, Allah says, مَا لِعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنَ عِنْدِي جَزَاءٌ, I have nothing to give to this person. When I take someone close to them, if they are, if they're hoping for the reward, meaning that they're patient, right? So when we hope for a reward and a difficulty comes upon us, when we hope for a reward, that makes us patient. If the person is patient, Allah says, I have nothing to offer this person except for paradise, right? That in this world, we may lose everything. In this world, we may lose our loved ones. We may lose those who are close to us. We may lose our brothers and sisters. We may see our own children being killed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and remove this harm from our ummah. Allahumma ameen. But the jaza for this is nothing but paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, and all over the world who are suffering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them the ranks of the martyrs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a quick victory to our brothers and sisters and the resistance in Palestine and elsewhere around the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify the beloved land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bayt al-Maqdis, from those who wish harm to our brothers and sisters. Allahumma ameen. Hada wallahu ta'ala a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
جزاكم الله خير شيخ سعد تسليم. A powerful reminder as always, and to those sharing their gems in the chat, جزاكم الله خير. I know it's hard to keep up with all the gems, but inshallah khair, you can continue to share them through the recordings. I know there was a lot of questions that were coming in. We'll see if we can squeeze in maybe just a couple of them in the chat. If you guys have questions on the topic of submission here, please feel free to drop them. Please avoid, I know there's a lot of subtopics that people get really excited around riba and other things will open up another can of worms that unfortunately we can't do justice to. We don't have enough time with the sheikh today, but inshallah, there's many other resources and there's other seminars where you will have an opportunity to ask these types of questions. So I see some coming through. Please keep your questions as concise as possible, just so that we can make sure we are mindful of the time, if I can get it fast enough. Oh, hold on. Sorry, I'm going to have to open up my chat a little bit bigger. Do you know if anyone has something on topic that I can add, I can share. The chat is going so fast, I can barely keep up with it. But if anyone has on topic questions on the topic of submission, please feel free to share them. I see one question here saying solution to the one that is heedless for years.
Look, this is a very difficult question to answer because there are many reasons why a person may be heedless. And that's why, to me, a question like this should not be answered in a just a generic way, because I may mention something. I'll give an example. Sometimes some people are heedless because they don't feel the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't see value in the deen. They don't see value in Islam. Like, what does Islam do for me? And we know what it doesn't do for us, right? It brings us pain and hardship and struggle and submission, right? Waking up for Fajr is not easy, and so on and so forth. And the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I know what it doesn't do for me, but what does it do for me? So for that type of person, I would say it is very important to reflect upon our need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is important for us to reflect upon the transient and temporary nature of this life. The reality, which is something that many of us are now beginning to understand more and more as we are witnessing what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Gaza, the reality of this life being so uncertain that I don't have tomorrow guaranteed to me. I don't even have the next few moments guaranteed to me. So what is my life really about? And that's actually one of the reasons that, one of the things that brought me to Islam personally, was thinking about the purpose of this life. That if my life were to come to an end, like what did I spend my life doing? What was the purpose of doing what I'm doing? You know, wake up in the morning, you go to school, you do this, you do that, and you have goals and aspirations, and you live your life in that way. Well, it's all for a purpose. If you show up at the end of your life and you look back, was that a really a fulfilling purpose for us? And so for some people, it may be that. So what I would recommend for a person who is, you know, heedless, or if you're advising someone like that, it's important to really sit down and to have a conversation with this person, understand why they feel, why they don't feel the need for this deen, right? And why they feel disconnected from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Sorry, y'all. I'm having a hard time keeping up with all the craziness in the chat, but I see another question here asked by Samira in Toronto is, how do we teach our nafs to submit to leave things it likes, i.e. music? Is it possible to teach our nafs to fully submit and hate it?
So there is a difference between, so when we talk about submitting and hatred for that which Allah has forbidden, what is required for us is the physical submission, right? And the acceptance of what Allah has legislated for us. So we'll just take like a much easier, much more prominent example, Salatul Fajr. And I know, alhamdulillah, it's Ramadan, and many of us are finding it a lot easier to get up for Fajr, alhamdulillah. And Suhoor is a big part of that. But outside of the month of Ramadan, many of us struggle with getting up for Salatul Fajr. Now, the physical aspect of it, we have no choice there. That is something that is a requirement for us to get up for Fajr. And we can, so, but in terms of liking it or disliking it, we can say, and I know, let me just say the whole statement before you jump to a conclusion. It is okay to say, I dislike getting up for Fajr, but it is not okay to say, I dislike Fajr. Now, what's the difference? You can say, when you say, I dislike getting up for Fajr, you're admitting that your own shortcoming, your own fault or flaw, or even your own humanity as a human being, right? We struggle to do certain acts of obedience, and that's part of being a human being. We're not perfect, and it's a struggle. And you know what? The struggle is a part of it. To say like I dislike getting up for Fajr is admitting your humanity and our personal shortcomings. But Fajr itself, to say I dislike Fajr, or I dislike that Allah has Allah has legislated Fajr for me, this can be tantamount to kufr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, because we know that if Allah has legislated something for us, then it is for my own good, and it is good for me, and it is beneficial, and Allah knows me better than I know myself. And so it's difficult, but I know that there's good in it, right? Even though I may not see that. And so with our other, whether, you know, whatever other sins or, you know, other obligations we have, it is important to make that distinction. It is okay to admit your humanity and say, it's hard for me to leave this particular sin. But it's we should not ever be saying that I don't think I have to leave it, because then the path to Allah is actually cut off. So, you know, a person, you know, going back to Fajr, Salatul Fajr, a person who says something like, do I even really need to get up for Fajr? Or, you know, this was something that was legislated, or this is something that was found, you know, 1400 years ago. And in our modern day life, it doesn't really apply. So the point isn't, you know, praying five times a day. The point is, as long as you're praying, that's good enough, right? As long as you're, and some people take it even further, as long as you're a spiritual person, that's good enough. You don't have to physically do like the actions of the salah and so on and so forth. Now, what is the difference? Well, the difference is in the second person who says, do you even really have to pray? They have now cut off their path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've cut off their path to praying. The first person who says, I know I have to pray, but it's difficult, even if they are unable to pray, but they know they have to pray, there's still a path back to Allah. There's still a path to say, I know I'm not doing this, but I know it's good for me, and I'm going to try to do it. And I always tell people, when it comes to the obligations, at the very least, make the intention to do what Allah has obligated. And with the prohibitions of Allah, at least make the intention to leave the prohibitions. Someone who's struggling with cigarettes, for example, smoking cigarettes, or shisha, hookah, whatever it may be, right? Which is forbidden, haram in Islam. At least make the intention that I have the intention to quit, right? And don't say something like, I know I can't do it. It's not in me, right? Or is it really that bad? And that's one of the tricks of the shaitan to kind of rationalize these sins, right? And the shaitan loves to compare sins to other sins or sins to worse sins. That's a common one. Well, I'm doing this, but at least I'm not doing that. I'm smoking a cigarette, at least I'm not drinking alcohol. So the person is drinking alcohol, I'm drinking alcohol, but at least I'm not smoking pot. This person is smoking pot, I'm smoking pot, at least I'm not doing hard drugs. There's always a worse thing to go to. And that's how the shaytan, may Allah protect us, and we seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan, leads us down this path. That's why we never go down that path, right? We always say, I know this is wrong. Allah has forbidden this. And so even if I haven't submitted yet, I have the intention to submit. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh Saad Taslim. An honor as always to have you back with us, as rare it is these days, but alhamdulillah, we're grateful for the moments we can get. We look forward to keeping up with your journey on YouTube and your all the new things that you have planned with us that you've not told us yet, but we'll keep up. We'll keep stalking your socials and keeping you in our du'as. It's been a pleasure as always. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alrighty, y'all. I hope that you guys enjoy that. That was Sheikh Saad Taslim on the topic of submission for day 4 of Ramadan 360, our 30-day Amagir virtual course, Living by the Book on 30 Life-Changing Principles to Change Your Life. So that said, we are going to jump in a second to our Quran Reflect portion, which Sheikh Saad actually introduced to the experience for the OGs. If you know, you know. MashaAllah, Quran Reflect has always been, it was introduced in the second year of Ramadan 360 as the way that we get a chance to connect and get to know each other better and to share our reflections on the things that we're learning daily. Before we jump into that, a shout out, of course, to our daily YouTube series that's launching with Sheikh Ammar Shikri. Today's name was the name Ar-Rahman. Please make sure that you're subscribed to us on YouTube and that you turn on your post notifications so you don't miss any of the amazing videos that Sheikh Ammar has coming out every single day, mashallah. And now, of course, we also have our daily giving campaign that we've shared a few times. Hopefully you guys have already, you know, taken advantage of making that part of your daily good that you're doing during the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we're now at, I think it's 479. So we didn't hit 500, which was our goal, but we got pretty close, alhamdulillah. And I think we can, especially with tonight being the Thursday night, the night of Jummah, and tomorrow being Jummah, I think before we meet again, we can exceed our goal of, we did 500. So let's aim for 600, inshallah. We get close and close every single time. So I think we can do it, inshallah. If you've given already, jazakum Allah khair. May Allah make it heavy on your scale of deeds and make it a source of sadaqah jariyah for you all. If you have not yet, or if you've given, please feel free to share it to others to make sure that you maximize your ajr and theirs as well, inshallah. And if you have not yet, what are you waiting for? It's a great and easy way to have consistent good during this blessed month, inshallah. So once again, head over to almaghrib.org/givedaily so that you can be part of this journey. And definitely, especially with it being the first Jummah, I find it early on, it's easy to have that energy and to remember to do your good and to have consistency in your charity. And then sometimes the midway point, we tend to dip and we tend to stop with that consistency. So this will, inshallah, make sure that even if you're kind of busy or you're caught up, that you maintain that strength and that regular giving, inshallah. And quick reminder once again from Sheikh Ammar about the campaign before we jump into our Quran Reflect. Bismillah.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most beloved actions to Allah are the most consistent, even if they're small. And what a better way to create consistent goodness than to support Al-Maghrib daily in Ramadan. You see, people think learning about Islam stops in childhood, but seeking knowledge is a sacred duty for everybody. And when you educate just one Muslim adult about their deen, you're impacting all of society. That Muslim will share that knowledge with their friends, their children, their communities, And just like that, your one donation creates a snowball effect that doesn't just change one life, it changes the entire ummah. And inshallah ta'ala, you get the reward for all of it. That's why this Ramadan, we're inviting you to make the biggest impact by educating Muslim adults worldwide, and it starts with a small donation that you give every single day. Join us in our daily giving campaign. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept from you.
Ameen. And with that said, we're going to start our Quran Reflect session with Usada Taymiyah Zubair once again. Jazakallah khair wajia for dropping that link in the chat. Please don't forget, when the reminders are sent, please make sure that you take action as well. Reminder as well for those who are getting on the mic, inshallah, today. I know we've said this a few times, but we'll keep saying it, inshallah, until we get into that routine. First of all, make sure that your audio is strong, that you have an audio device connected that's easy to hear you. And also make sure that you are avoiding asking questions. We have a dedicated portions in the Ramadan 360 program for Q&As, for opportunities to ask questions. And there's going to be some big ones coming up with the Fatwa Nights with Sheikh Waleed and Sheikh Abu Isa Ni'matullah. However, during these sessions, it takes away from the flow a little bit if we get caught up and if we get, you know, like if everyone goes into their individual and personalized questions on the topic. So if we can keep it to reflections that you guys have, that would be amazing, inshallah. And with that, I know we weren't as good with the time today, Usada Taymiyah Zubair, but it's a pleasure to have you back and to stretch out to the Burr muscles with you once again for Quran Reflect. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Usada. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
Alhamdulillah. It's great to hear. I'm going to give it right over to you, inshallah. We'll jump into the session.
All right. Sounds good. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. So the concept of Islam, I actually want to begin with a question. When you think of Islam, what is the opposite of Islam? So far, what you have heard about Islam, Islam is submission. So what is the opposite of Islam? Denial, misguidance, danger, okay, kufr, atheism, defiance, pride, all right, indifference, okay, following one's desires, complete disbelief, no life, okay, arrogance. Excellent, mashallah. That means you have understood the concept of Islam very well. The thing is that the word Islam is actually used in a number of different ways. It's used as Islam, as in the religion of Islam, all right, which is the religion of Allah. As Allah tells us, inna dina indallahi al-Islam. Indeed, the religion near Allah is Islam. And this is the religion of Adam alayhi salam, of Nuh alayhi salam, of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of all of the prophets of Allah. This is the religion that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ, that I approve of Islam as religion. Meaning the only religion that Allah approves of, the only religion that is acceptable near Allah is the religion of Islam. So Islam, religion of Islam, meaning it's the opposite of kufr. It is the opposite of disbelief. But then Islam is also used for sincerity. It's also used in the Quran as the opposite of nifaq, the opposite of hypocrisy. All right? Because we see, for example, the prophets of Allah are described as those who have not only surrendered to Allah, but the fact that they are sincere to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about those who surrender their face to Allah. All right. And that is typically interpreted as that they are sincere to Allah, meaning in whatever that they do in their worship, they're sincere. They do not have any hypocrisy. All right. And then we have Islam also used in the meaning of submission and humility to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So it would be the opposite of arrogance. It would be the opposite of refusal. Now, when it comes to submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this submission can be just outward, all right? Such that a person is just outwardly compliant to the religion of Allah, that they're just, for example, they fulfill the five pillars of Islam, all right? So this is external. This is outward. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just require from us that we surrender to Him outwardly. That when it is time to pray, then yes, we get up and pray. When it is time to give zakat, then yes, we give zakat, right? This is not the only thing that is required from us. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us is that we surrender to Him, we submit to Him outwardly and inwardly, externally and internally. Meaning, externally, yes, our actions are in alignment with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands from us. We don't follow our desire. We follow the command of Allah. But then inwardly also, in our minds, in our hearts, we submit to Allah. And that means accepting that yes, Allah is right. That yes, Allah is my Lord. And I will do whatever that He commands me to. It is to fully surrender. You know, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Nisa about the decisions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the decisions that he would make for people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, that no, by your Lord, they're not truly believers. Any people are not truly believers until when? Until they appoint you as a judge in whatever matters that arise between them, meaning any matters of conflict, they appoint you as judge. And then they accept that decree, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they completely, fully surrender, meaning wholeheartedly, they embrace, they accept that yes, the decision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is correct. Yes, it is the best. And yes, I accept it. I like it. I wholeheartedly take it. And this is Islam. This is to completely, fully surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we learned earlier, that Islam is not just about submitting to Allah's commands. It is also to submit to, as in accept, the decrees of Allah. You know, for example, if I accept that, yes, you know, when you're driving, you have to follow certain rules of the road, right? You accept them. Then you don't go on challenging them all the time. You know, for example, if you're stopping at a stop sign, you're not going to be like, well, why? It doesn't make sense to me. Why do I have to do this? Right. When you see the speed sign, you don't complain over there. You don't fuss over there. Similarly, when it comes to the decrees and the commands of Allah, we don't fuss over there. We don't, we don't get upset with Allah. We don't challenge Allah as if we know better, as if we understand better. Now, Islam is from the root sin lam mim, right? And linguistically, salima is when something is, it becomes safe, all right? From the same is qalbin salim, illa man atallaha bi qalbin salim. Yani a heart that is sound, that is free from, that is safe from any disease, any ailment, or any such negative thing, right? So, salima is when something is safe and sound. And what's the connection over here between submission and safety? That the one who surrenders to Allah, the one who completely submits to Allah outwardly and inwardly, they're the ones who will be safe ultimately. They're the ones who will survive ultimately. Meaning this test of life, this test of the world. And this is why paradise is called what? Darus Salam. It is the home of salam, of complete, absolute, total safety, right? Where there is no difficulty, no pain, no hardship, nothing whatsoever. There's no danger, right? No suffering, nothing like that. So those who surrender to Allah here will become safe and sound forever and ever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about those who do not believe that رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ, that many times the disbelievers will wish that they had been Muslimin. They will wish that they had been those who surrender to Allah. And they will continue to have this wish over and over again, this regret basically, but this regret is not going to help them. So submission to Allah brings ultimate peace and safety. Now, the word Islam, when you look at this word, in the Quran it occurs 8 times, al-Islam, Islam as in the religion of Islam. And the word Muslim, the one who submits to Allah, or those who surrender to Allah, even the women who surrender to Allah, this word occurs 42 times in the Quran. All right. It's used to describe, for example, you have Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam. They prayed that, oh Allah, make a ummah muslimah, a nation that surrenders to you, from our descendants. The word Muslim is also used to refer to the Muslimun, Muslimin. Those who surrender to Allah, this has been used to refer to the people who believed in Isa alayhi salam, the Hawariyun, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Muslims, to the believers, that فَقُولُوا شْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, that you should say to those you debate with that bear witness that we are those who surrender to Allah. And the verb, and also inna al-muslimina wal-muslimat, the Muslim men and the Muslim women. Excellent. And then we have the verb aslama. Aslama, he surrendered, he submitted. This occurs 22 times in the Quran. So the word Islam in its different forms basically occurs over 70 times in the Quran, right? And one ayah that I want to highlight in particular is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 112, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bala man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsin, falahu ajruhu inda rabbihi wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun. That the one who surrenders his face to Allah while he is a doer of good, then he will have his reward with his Lord, and he will have no fear. No fear will be on them, nor will they grieve. Now, what does it mean by surrendering one's face to Allah? The one who surrenders his face to Allah, the one who submits his wajh. Wajh is your face. We also learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that فَإِنْ حَاجُّوكَ فَقُلْ أَسْلَمْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّهِ, that if they argue with you, then tell them that I have submitted my face to Allah. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ, that whose religion could be better than the one who surrenders his face to Allah, meaning the one who surrenders his face to Allah, his religion is the best. His religiosity, his piety is the best. Now, if you surrender your, for example, your book to someone, what does it mean? You're just handing it over to them, right? You surrender your money means you're handing it over. To submit your face means that you submit in humility before Allah, that you accept Allah as your master. All right? Because when you submit your face to someone, it means that you are now facing them constantly. So whatever they tell you, you're going to do it. They tell you, go here, you go there. They say, go there, you go there. Like imagine if there is a camel, all right, that, or a horse that has been tethered, all right, and it's in submission to its master now. So if you've ever done horse riding, what happens? You indicate to the horse, use through different ways, and the horse understands that, okay, this means I have to turn right. I have to go right. I have to go left. I have to stop. I have to run fast, right? The horse has completely surrendered to its master. So submitting to Allah means that your face is now always turning towards Allah, that you are accepting Allah as your Lord. You're not going to be facing, your desire. You're not going to be facing the people of this world. They're not your masters. They're not your Lord. They don't deserve your complete, total obedience and submission. This is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. And aslama wajhahu lillah also means that, the thing is that wherever your face goes, your entire body follows, right? If, like, I remember this friend of mine, she was telling about how when she was learning how to drive, she, had this bad habit of always getting distracted by the things that she would see on the side of the road. So once she saw a puppy on the side of the road, and she started literally driving towards it, right? And the instructor was like, no, stop looking at the puppy, stop looking at the puppy, right? Look at the road. Look at the road. Wherever you want to go, that is what you look at. So this is the thing about the face, that whatever direction it faces, the entire body follows. So to surrender one's face to Allah is to surrender one's entire being to Allah, all of one's actions, all right? All of one's decisions. And to surrender the face also means what? That you surrender everything that's on your face, in your face, right? Like, for example, your eyes are in submission to Allah. Your ears are in submission to Allah. Your mouth is in submission to Allah. What does that mean? That means that with your eyes, you only look at what is permissible for you to look at. You don't look at what is haram. You don't read what is not permissible for you to read, what is none of your business, right? Somebody's personal private matters, right? With your ears, you only listen to what is relevant to you, what is your business, right? You don't eavesdrop. You don't listen to something that is laghw, that is useless, that is sinful. With your mouth, you only say what is pleasing to Allah. You don't say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Like, for example, Allah tells us in the Quran, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول, that Allah does not like the public mention of evil. So this includes, for example, swear words, insulting people. This kind of speech Allah does not like. Now, what else is in your face, especially behind the forehead? What's behind the forehead? The brain, yeah, the frontal cortex, right? And the prefrontal cortex especially, what does that do? What is this region of the brain related to? Or what role does, okay, good guesses, quick thinking, decision making, good. Yeah, executive functions like planning, decision making. All right, decision making. So when you are deciding something, you always have Allah in mind. Is this decision of mine, even it could be something as what I should say, how I should respond. Exactly. You're not acting on emotion, on impulse, right? But you are, you keep Allah in mind, because you have surrendered to Allah. All right. So aslama wajhahu lillah, surrenders his face to Allah. Even on the forehead, we frown, right? Sometimes we stare, we give those eyes, we roll the eyes. So be careful. If you want to be someone who has surrendered to Allah, surrendered their face to Allah, then be that person who has submitted themselves entirely. All right, let's hear from you now. Bismillah. There were some really good comments, but I saw them, but I couldn't catch them fully. So I'm going to scroll up quickly while Samira speaks. Go ahead, Samira.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. I just want to say, any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unbefitting, and especially on the Day of Judgment where they could do nothing for us and will completely refuse any blame. So we need to completely submit before we're forced to submit. And we really have to think about that there's only two groups on the Day of Judgment, and we have to decide which kind of ending we want.
Mm-hmm. Barakallahu fiki. You know what you said about forced to submit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that bal humul yawma mustaslimun, that those who used to resist submitting to Allah before, on the Day of Judgment, they will fully surrender. They will be fully compliant. So whether we like it or not, we belong to Allah. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, whoever that is in the skies and the earth has submitted to Allah. Your own body even submits to Allah. Right? It doesn't submit to you. You don't have any control over it. When you get fever, when you get sick, if it were up to you, you would fix yourself within a second, within a minute. But you can't. The pain that you have in your knees, in your body, you're not able to have full control over it. Yes, you can try to manage it, right? But you don't have full control over it. Your hair begins to gray, your skin begins to age, right? These are things that we witness, we experience, and they're constant reminders that this body does not submit to me. It submits to Allah. So whether we like it or not, we must submit to Allah, and in willful, willing submission to Allah lies our success. Amina?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam.
So for me personally, for reflection, I like to connect things back. So I was just connecting this submission back to taqwa, you know, the consciousness of Allah. And so when you really learn who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what you're capable of, it makes it so much more easier to have, you know, submission and to have like humbleness and to be very sincere. And I was just like thinking that if all these things are kind of like connected dominoes piece, if you focus on one, if you work hard towards one, other things kind of just come in easy. And so subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think that was one thing that was really beautiful.
Barakallahu fiki. Excellent. Excellent. Anybody else? Okay, I can see in the comments. Solan said, someone who acts on his emotions instead of intentionally is jahil. Yes. We shouldn't just be acting on impulse. Good. A lot can be said through facial expressions. Yes. Iqra, go ahead. Go ahead, Iqra. Iqra. Iqra'i. Go ahead.
If you're having any trouble unmuting, let us know, inshallah. You should be able to do it automatically. I think Iqra is having some trouble with the unmuting, inshallah. There's a lot of good reflections in the chat. I don't know if you've caught all of them yet.
Mashallah. I'm reading through them. All right. One more thing I want to share at the end is du'as that we should be making. Sheikh Saad shared a very important ayah that وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that do not die except while you are ones who are in submission to Allah. And in the Quran, we learn about another dua, which, about a dua, which is رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ, that when you especially experience trials in your religion, or you witness things that you become afraid that this could literally ruin my Islam or the Islam of my children, then you ask Allah that, oh Allah, tawaffana muslimin, give us the ability to die as Muslims, as those who are in submission to you, because we don't know how things can change, right? And how, if a person is tested in regard to their Islam, to their faith, they could literally lose it, right? And the way that there are so many fitan, so many different kinds of trials, where there's a constant, you know, effort by different groups of people to literally ruin our Islam, to ruin our faith. So we ask Allah to keep us steadfast on Islam and let us die on Islam. وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. All right. Sister Shahnaz, go ahead.
Shahnaz, we see you're unmuted, but we can't hear you just yet. Can you try saying something? Oh, there we go.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam wa rahmatullah.
I'm just reflecting, and I thought I was getting some feedback around the reflection. I think submission is so critical at every minute of your life. And actually, with submission, I feel that it releases the responsibility on my shoulder, in the sense that if anything you do, you ask the question, what does Allah want you to do? Then you make all effort, and then the outcomes will be Allah's, right? And if even if the outcomes is not what you expect, you have absolute belief that Allah knows better than you do.
Yeah. And Allah has not left it to us to figure out how to worship Him, right?
Right.
There's in Islam is actually liberation as well. Like, because we're not having to deal with, you know, figuring out what to do. Is this the best? Is this the right thing? Now let's do this. No, now let's do that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Islam as a complete religion, a perfect religion, He has made our lives very, very easy. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu fiki. Sister Farzana?
Yes, submission for when I was listening to Sheikh Saad and your lecture as well, I just want to just drive the minds of our sisters over here to what happened to Musa al-Islam when Allah asked him to take Bani Israel along and just get out of that place. He didn't know that Allah is going to split that Nile for him, and there's going to be a safe way so that they can pass through. But what he knew was that his Allah has ordered him, and he's never going to leave him alone. Now for him, it was just do it. So submission for me is when Allah says do it, just do it. Don't think whether what is going to be the outcome, what is going to be the result, what is the world going to say, because Allah is never going to abandon you. If you are devoted, for me, submission is basically the yaqeen, I would say, the conviction that makes you do that thing without thinking about the result. SubhanAllah, this is what I could gather for myself, alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khairan, excellent reflection. Barakallah fiki. Rafia?
Assalamualaikum. For me, submission personally it has been to the will of Allah, as I've recently lost my husband. So accepting his passing is as part of Allah's decree, and and I trusting in Allah's wisdom as well. So yes, submission for me has been, and then finding solace in our faith. Thank you. Yes.
Jazakallah khairan for sharing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him paradise and make Hello. Matters very, very easy for you.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, go ahead.
Jazakallah for just an amazing, amazing lecture. And what I want to say is it reminds me of, in the Quran, it says that God has made us asan al taqweem. And but we could also, in the next ayah, it says summa radadna. So if we submit, I think we are the asan al taqweem. But if we do not, then we are the radadna, we are the rejected ones. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for wonderful insights.
Jazakallah khair for sharing that. Thumma radadnahu asfala safilin. Yes. If a person does not surrender to Allah, then they become the lowest of the low. Subhanallah. All right, inshallah, we'll conclude over here for today. Hafsa.
Jazakumullah khair, Ustada Tamia, for another beneficial Quran reflection session. Subhanallah, and jazakallah khair to all of you who keep the energy going and who keep sharing such beneficial reflections. I hope that you guys are capturing them, because I've honestly just reading through these, it increases your hope, increases your tawakkul, increases your conviction as well. And mashallah, you don't know the reward. Someone else may be struggling with something. Subhanallah, you know, this sister just shared the loss of her husband. May Allah reunite her with him in Jannah. But it helps others to be able to feel that encouragement and to hear in many different ways, from many different perspectives, from people who've struggled in their own ways, subhanAllah. So jazakumullah khair. You guys are a huge part of what keeps this community going. And it's beautiful to see the way that you guys have been reflecting and sharing and pulling from your own experiences to inspire others as well. May Allah make it heavy on your scale of deeds. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. With that said, that was day number 4 of Ramadan 360 with Ustaz Tamia Zubair finishing us off for our Quran reflection. Please join us tomorrow for day number 5. And we're really excited because we have with us Dr. Farhan Abdulaziz. He's one of our newest Maghrib instructors, and he's actually just come back recently from being on the ground there in Gaza as well. So we're looking forward to his topic. His topic is going to be on remembrance, inshallah. Please join us then. Please, of course, keep in your du'as, and please keep supporting our amazing charity partners, HHRD in the US, Islamic Relief in Canada, and Forgotten Women in the UK. Their links are in the bios and periodically shared in the chat. And please do capture everything that you're shared. The chat is so quick. Sometimes you don't get a chance to read it all, or we lose it after the session closes. So please do copy and paste any amazing gems that you're sharing and put it into the student-led tablet group, or Padlet, sorry, and into the Telegram group, inshallah, so that we can capture these, inshallah, we can use them for the future as well. Jazakallah khair for everyone for joining us. We'll see you guys tomorrow, same time, same place. For now, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.